Boker Tov. Today's daf in Masechet Sotah, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Lamed Dalet. We're up to the very top of the daf on daf Lamed Dalet, Omed Aleph. So we were talking about the inyonim of the Knisa LaOretz, and we got to dealing with not only with the Har Grizim and Har Eval, which is a Geter Brocha V'Klola, which we learn is related to Seita and the Brocha and Klola and Seita and the Shavuos HaOlah that is by the Seita that has to do with Veshama Kol Olah, with the Shavuos of the Dinim of where Bezdin is, or the person who demands Eidos from the person or accuses him of keeping his money or whatever. All of those involve the same Lashonos, fascinatingly. So once we were talking about the Inyonim of the way in which we came to Har Grizim and Har Eval, which is mentioned there that it's directly across the Yarden, whatever directly across means, that was a machlokes. So we started talking about the actual crossing of the Yarden. And this is where we're up to today. And we begin with Kivan Shenitbelu Raglei HaKohanim B'Mayim. Yesterday we saw that there was a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban, about whether, in fact, from this point forward, all of the movement of the Oren HaBris would be in the hands of the Kohanim, and those three mentions that the Gemara spoke about, the special times where it mentions Kohanim, is just that there's three places where the Torah says it, or which is the way the Rambam learns in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, or whether these were three special occasions that were similar to Aveda, and therefore the Kohanim were the ones that needed to do the Aveda. So here too, when they were crossing the Yarden, I should say, when we were crossing the Yarden, so the moment that the Kohanim put their feet into the water stopped flowing downstream, and it started to back up. So all of that water started piling up, and the rest of the water continued downstream until the Yarden was free of water and could cross. The Kama Govan Shomai, how high did that water stack up? Shnema Sarmil, this Al Shnema Sarmil doesn't make much sense, just Shnema Sarmil should be the correct Yirsa. Kineged Machane Yisrael, Divi Rabbi Yehuda. So why was that? Because until the entire Machane crossed, the water kept going up, since the machana was Yud Beis Mil, so therefore went up Yud Beis Mil. Amar lo Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, this makes sense to you? What I mean, we're going to say that the people were walking at the same speed that the water was moving. That's basically what you're assuming. I mean, you really think that? L'dvarecha adam kal o mayim kalim? What do you think would be moving faster, the machana or the flow of the water? I mean, omer mayim kalim is the norm, isn't it? And if you're telling me that it only stacked up 12 mil, which was the height of the machane, so then im kein boim ayim v'shot v'imotam. Then that would mean that it collapsed after it reached the height of Yud Beis Mil. There were still people that were slowly crossing the Yarden. They would have been washed away by the water. Your pshat doesn't make any sense. Elam elamed shayu mayim nigdashim v'olim kipin agabi kipin yetem shlosh meot mil ad shirau otam kol malchei mizrach u'marav. But rather, there was an immense nace, and the water kept going up and up and up until it was 300 mil high, so that it was visible all over. And we see that it says, Vahikishmo, I mean, we have exactly the same things in which we see that they were terrified. Kishmo, ko malche amori, asher be'ever ha'yarden yama, v'chol malche ha'knani, asher ala yam, Et asher ovishat shemet mea yarden mipnei b'nei Yisrael ad ovram vayimas levavam v'lo haya behem od ruach mipnei b'nei Yisrael. They were absolutely terrified when this happened. And the truth is that the terror of, this was even before, that this was something, the crossing over of the Yamsuf also terrified them. Nuzim Amela over there, they had time to catch up on what had happened. This is 40 years later, you know. So Rachav told them that, yeah, things are really, we're terrified. We heard what happened. But here, everybody found out instantly, must be that it was so high that it was visible from very far away. Tosfos points out that according to the Gemara, the height of the atmosphere is only 12 kilometers. So how in the world could it go that high. So it says Enochina. It was a nace and it reached outer space. What can you say? But, okay. In any event, we see.
Rabbi, how does it happen? Rabbi, how does it happen? Because they heard. Should they should have said they should have seen?
Right. That's my question. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good question. I don't have a clear answer. But, I mean, what it means is that it got all the way to the kings, and maybe the kings weren't outdoors looking. But the point is that it was instantly communicated. Maybe Dr. Barry has a shot. He's got his hand up.
Isn't Shloshmot a Lashon of
Guzma? Yeah, it's of Guzma, yes. It's strange. Tosus doesn't even say that it's a Lashon of Guzma. But, Dr. Barry, is that your hand up to speak, or is it you're just waving?
Yeah, I'm just trying to keep the cat from jumping onto my computer over here.
Okay. I know, it is a troublesome lush, and I was hoping nobody would notice I would get away with it. The Afrokhav HaZonah, and we see Rokhav HaZonah, that was like the biggest thing that had impacted people. She said to Shluchei Yehoshua, Oy, kishamanu et ashrovish Hashemet meyardein, so they were absolutely terrified from that particular thing. I mean, it's even worse because the from Rochav there's no inyan of seeing, right? Although there is a medrash that even by Rochav it says that all the water in the world, if anybody was taking a bath or in a swimming pool, all the water in the world also broke up into 12, you know, passageways. So they also found out. So even the thing with Rochav maybe has a mocker for that. Anyway, Odam B'Yarden, there they are crossing the Yarden. Amar Lem Yehoshua. So Yehoshua says to them, before we go any further, you have to know what this is all about. I mean, we are crossing the Yarden as a mission. This is not just stum. And so if you don't understand the mission, we're not going to get across here. So du'u amatem ovrim et hayarden. So you need to understand that the entire basis of your crossing this Yarden is only amanat shetorishu et yoshvei haaretz miptechem. Shenemar vahorashtem et kol yoshvei haaretz miptechem. And this is what you've got to do. Now, if you are not crossing in order to start fighting, so imatem osim kein mutav, im lav, if this is not your full intent, then the water comes down right now and washes us all away. Ba'im ba'im v'shotfim, and this is the lashon of the Tana, not the lashon of the Pasuk, is a strange word that they are going to be shotfim otichem. Now, there's no such word as otichem. So the Gemara says, what the heck is, what does the Tana mean with otichem? But lamaisa, the word in the Pasuk is otichem, and that is strange. It's etchem. So the idea is we're saying otchem is the same as saying otchem is otichem. And what is otichem? This lashon of otichem is me and you, oti ve'etchem. So it incorporates both languages, and that would be because this was gufa, the moment that they needed to be makabel on themselves, the chiyuv of the arvus. And that was the hanistarot. So this is Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi that Reish Lakish explains that Biyarden kibla leimat anistarot, and that included in this discussion that this is merumas in the Otichem, that even though I certainly am crossing the Yarden in order to fight, but if you aren't, then we're all mutually responsible. It's going to blow all of us away. So the Otichem here is the remez to the Kabbalah of the Arvus. Al Hanistarot, where over there that whole piece, Hanistarot, Lashem Elokeinu, and that was remembered, had the dots on top to say that only Ba'avarat HaYarden was there a Kabbalah of Arvus one to the other. And Tosfos brings that the Gemara brings the Raya there in the Yerushalmi from the follow up story, of course, which is the story of Rubam Shel Sanhedrin that were killed in the attack on the eye, and this is all because of Ochan. So we see that it was much more than simply the willingness to fight, but it was the willingness to fight as a mutually interrelated Anyway, so that's the first thing that he said to them. Odam b'yarden, next he said to them, Harimu lachem ish evenachat ashichmo lemispar shiftei b'nei Yisrael. So this Ish, it's talking about the pasuk before that, says that that Yehoshua had selected these 12 men, undoubtedly men with tremendous zechuyos and strength, and he said to them that you have to lift up, when you're going to be in the Yarden, you have to actually lift up avanim from the Yarden. So arimu lachem ish even achat ashichpo, we take 12 stones, one for every one of the Shifta Yisrael, and uchtiv lamant yezot ot pikir bechem, ki yishalun b'nechem b'char lemor maha avanim ha'ele lachem. So this is actually a simon to you, and the simon is that ultimately there's going to be tourist guides where your kids are going to be asking, what are these stones all about? And this is a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us she'ovru avot et ha'yardin, because the truth is that there were two, we're going to see later on, and this the Pasuk actually defines this later on, that there were actually two of these 12 stone groupings. So 12 were put right there where the Kohanim had been standing, and the actual Orang was crossing over the Yarden, and the other was taken out from there, and that was what was going to be brought to them as they went to Gilgal and they built the Mizbeach and so on and so forth, right? So that those were the Avonim that they took with them that the entire Torah was written on, and we spoke about, and the Shivim Lashanais, the Bar Hetev, and so on. So that was the one thing that the tourist guides have not been able to point to these stones. And this is Barnea's big challenge in life, is to actually locate those 12 stones, because that would be a coup, an absolute coup, and that would set him up forever.
There are constantly efforts to find them, constantly. One of them consulted with Rav Noach Zatzal years ago. Right.
And that was the Velvel Jones thing, I think, no?
I met Velvel Jones there when his hunt, but there was somebody else whose name escapes me using geophysics, but the Yarden switches and moves,
yeah,
and
right,
doesn't stay. So
that
there's
is
four guides here who go, and we make the bracha there of Sha'asanasu and Mazeh by Kasar Yehu, because you know you're in range. You're opposite Yericho. This was definitely included. Right.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Before you grab it, see it at the hole. Anyway, you stand there, you're able to make a bracha because it was so hot.
That's number two of our guys. Where's everybody else around here? Richie, why are you quiet? Where's David? What's happening?
Four guys.
That's all from love of Eretz Yisrael. You're only Bedimus?
All retired.
Okay, beautiful. Anyway, there they are, Odam B'Yarden, and Yehoshua continues to speak to them. Su'ulachem mizeh mitoch ha'yarden mimatzav raglei ha'kohanim hachin shtem esrei avanim v'havartem otam imachem v'nachtem otam b'malon ashetalinu bo halayla. So this you're going to be taking with you to where we will be staying tonight. Yochol. You might think that that means every place that we stay, and that this, they got to bring this with them. Tamud lomar shetalinu bo dafka halayla. Omer of Yudah. Abba chalafta and Rebbe Eliezer ben Matya v'chananya ben Chachinoi. The reason that the Mesoras HaShas changes this here to Omer Reb Yossi is because Reb Yossi was the one who always refers to Abba Chalavta, because his father was Chalavta. So because of that, it seems like this is Reb Yossi speaking. They found these Avanim, and they measured them. You know, Omdu alotam Avanim v'shiarum kol achat v'achat shkula ke'arba'im sa'ah. So the way that they read it is that each one of them was 40 saw, apparently 40 saw of the measurement of 40 saw, which is crazy. That's the size of a mikveh. So a stone the size of a mikveh. Imagine that each one of these had to be carried by one guy. So obviously this was a nace that a person could lift. Well, I don't know. I mean, there are reports. You know, Moshe Forman's not here today, but there are reports of, this is about 400 kilos or 300, between 300 and 400 kilos, you know. I think that's pretty good. But I think Oliver Sacks says that he lifted 600 pounds. I think he said, maybe I'm exaggerating. Okay, anyway, now the thing is, it's worse than that, because they had to put it on their shoulders, and each one had the mitzvah, particularly, he had to do the whole thing to represent that shevet. He had to do that whole thing himself, right? And now we have a Kabbalah, that tu'una demadli inish l'katfe tilta de tu'uniyave, that if the person has got to put something up on his shoulder all by himself without help, so then that's only one-third of the maximum that he would be able to carry if people could help him and put it up, and then he would be able to lift it. And here he would have to do that himself. So you can just imagine how powerful these guys were. Mikanata mechashev l'eshkol. So now you can figure out that if one guy can lift 300 kilos, and when we had eight people that were carrying that cluster of grapes when they were coming back from the Meraglim, so now you can just imagine how heavy that cluster of grapes was. This was serious grapes, man. Okay, so, I mean, because we know that it says in the Pasuk, Vayisa'u v'amot b'shnayim, they carried this cluster of grapes to bring back the Paris of Eretz Yisrael when they went to be, check it out. And it says over there that they carried it by pole with two people. Now, obviously, if it says b'amot, and it says they carried it, so then there's two. Eni yodea shebishnayim. So therefore, we have to understand that bishnayim means that there were two motot. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, this two motot, you have to understand, we're going to have to explain how there were eight people carrying this one cluster of grapes. Because we know that Yoshua and Kalev did not carry, as we'll see in a moment. And we know that one of them was carrying, we had one per fruit, so we had also a fig. I mean, that was a heavy fig. So one guy managed to carry the fig all on his own. The other one managed to carry the pomegranate all on his own. So that's 10 minus 2. So that still leaves us 8. Now, how did 8 people get on to these shnei motot? So therefore, what it really means, says Rabbi Yitzchak, is turtani v'turtani de turtani. Which the Rabbeinu Chananel understood. Turtani is Greek for the thing that hangs down on the old scales. You know, so it hangs, then it's got the little, I forgot the English word for it. But anyway, it's where you put the weights on. So the way that the Rabbeinu Chananel understands it is that what they did was, is they basically created netting to be able to carry this eshkol. And the eshkol was probably like a major branch of this vine. So they put it on the netting, and then they put the poles through the netting in both directions to be able to support the netting. And each one of these poles was not simply that you carried it at the pole, at the end of the pole, but that you had a little piece that was sticking out so that two people could hold up each side of the pole. So if you had these, they do crosswise, if they were going crosswise or diagonally, as Rashi says, so then you end up with 8 people, because you basically have the two people on each side of each pole, and you've got these 4 poles. Anyway, so how do we do this? So, ha-ketzad, shmona nasu eshkol. The reason that I'm saying this, says Rabbi Yitzchak, this is the meaning of the ha-ketzad over here, is that there were 8 people that managed to carry the grapes, and Echad Asa Rimon, and Echad Asa Teina. But Yoshua Vekolev didn't carry him. So that means that if each one was capable of carrying the so many Soim, so then that means if we needed 8 people, just imagine how unbelievably powerful they were. Why are we so sure that Yoshua and Kolev didn't carry? Well, look, I mean, it could be the reason they didn't carry that Rabbi Yitzchak was saying is because they were so chashev, it wasn't right for them to carry. Or you could say they didn't want to carry because they didn't want to be part of this whole Atzat HaMeraglim. And we're going to see that the Atzat HaMeraglim included actually the plan to bring back fruit, and to Barnea wants to show that not only could they carry the grapes, but they could actually be do tenufa with those grapes. Which, imagine how, I mean, how difficult is it to do something like that? God, save me, please. Okay. So they wouldn't have wanted to bring back these pears, as Rashi brings, which you remember from his Pirush on the Patera, that they were saying from the Medrash, Kishem Sheperosev, Perosev Mishunim. I mean, can you imagine fruits like this? Imagine what the people are like. So, you know, if this is what the kids take to school in the lunchbox, you really don't want to start up with this population, right? So that was one way they were going to bring the message across. Anyway, okay. So we said before that we had a machlokas between Reb Yehuda and Reb Elazar Reb Shimon about whether it was Yud Beis Meal or whether it was Shalosh Meis, right? So actually, Pligi Bar Reb Ami Reb Yitzchak Nafcha, we have also a machlokas that's nogea this, because these are svaras of Amoraim about what the Tanoim meant. So the question is, Chadomar L'Divrei Reb Yehuda. So Reb Yehuda, what are they arguing in, really, the Tanoim? Reb Yehuda, Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon. So one learns that according to what it was that Reb Yehuda said that were only Yud Beis Meal, the basis of the machlokas is how were they over the Yarden. So they could have crossed the Yarden the same way that the Machaneh traveled in the Midbar. If it was the same way they traveled, so then it was spread out over an area of Yud Beis Meal, yes, Al Yud Beis Meal, which is how it got complicated before in the Girsa. But that would mean that it would only take Yud Beis Meal of Halicha in order to finish crossing. That's why it was only Yud Beis Meal. Masha Inken, according to Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, I mean, how do you get 300 meal? I mean, why would it take so long? Well, according to him, what they did was is they moved into a column, and everybody crossed one person after the other. That's why it went so high. Not to mention the fact that obviously we had this time in which Yoshua was talking to them, and they were Odeno Omer Biyarden, and Bechlal, is not so poshut. V'chad Amar, the other Amar, says that everybody agrees, both Reb Yehuda and Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, that they went Kederach Hanayatam. The question is whether, in this case, the Adam was Kal or the Mayim was Kalim. So if you learn the Mayim was Kalim, so Eino Chinam, you went up to 300 mil. Anyway, once we've already mentioned the Meraglim, it wouldn't do not to get into the Meraglim, would it? So because of that, we're going to talk about Shlach Lecha Anashim. So it all starts with HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe, you send out these people, and they will be v'yachbrula, chavetaretz, and so on, Amri Shlokish. Shlach Lecha, notice that it says, this is all about you, Moshe. I'm not telling you. Shlach Lecha midatcha. I mean, tell me, do you really believe that even a person is going to be berach chelik ra la'atzmo? I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say to do something which reflects so terribly on himself. I mean, it's awful. Here he tells them this Eretz Avas Chalavut Vash, Eretz Tova, and now he's going to say, send people to check it out. That doesn't make any sense. That's just going to make trouble for him. Of course he wouldn't have done that. Therefore, it makes sense to say Shlach Lecha, which is the reason that when later on Moshe Rabbeinu describes what the Atzas HaMeraglim, how it came about, he said, Vayitav Be'inai Adavar. I thought it was a good idea. Now, we know Moshe did not think it was a good idea, because of the Musr that's associated with it, in which he tells them, you know, you all gathered on me and so on, but under the circumstances, I thought it was the best thing to do, because if I say no, so then you're going to already start making tzaras. So it's the Medrash, again, that Rashi brings there, about a guy, you know, who's selling a used car, and person wants to buy the car from him, says, okay, can I take the car for a day and drive it around and try it out? So the guy says, sure, of course. Well, can I drive it like anywhere up the mountains, down in the desert? Yeah, go take it wherever you want. So then the guy says, okay, then I don't need to try it. So okay. So Moshe was hoping if he said, sure, go ahead, you know, do whatever you want, that they'll say, okay, fine. So now we see that. So that's why I thought it was a good idea. Whereas if I said, no, you can't try the car out, That's all we would have needed. I mean, then you would have brought some mechanic who would have showed me 500 things wrong, and I wouldn't have gotten a penny for it, right? So the same thing is true over here. But it was only Be'inai, says Rish Lakish. Be'inai velo be'inav shel makom. Notice that Moshe actually says, you know what you guys said? This is amazing, remez. V'yachpuru lano et ha'aretz. Now, I mean, obviously v'yachpuru means, you know, check it out. But it means literally dig it out. And the other notion of the word v'yachpuru is embarrass. So therefore, says Rabbi Chiya Bar Ava, you see from here that the meraglim lo nitkav v'dinal, all they wanted to do from the very beginning, that was their shlichut, that they should say bad things about the nature of Eretz Yisrael, because that's why they use that word, the yachperu. Where do we see that? Because here, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you said yachperu lano et ha'aretz, and you see that the pasuk uses that word of chafra as shame. The chafra halavana. Okay, so what does that mean? That we will bring chofra to Eretz Yisrael. So we want to actually be mevaze Eretz Yisrael, is what we're talking about. Ve'ele shmotam. Then it goes through the names of the meraglim. L'matei Ruvain Shamua ben Zakur. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, you should know we have a mesorah, b'yadenu mi'avotenu, that each one of the names that are given over here are names that are based on the ma'asim that relate to the Maisa HaMeraglim. Because, I mean, it says over here, Beferish, in the Pasuk, it says, Ve'ele Shmotam, and then it says, Ele Shmotam. So it must be that it's stressing that these names are specific names, ent names that are based on the stories of what happened here, and therefore we look to try to figure out what that is. Even though we have this Mesorah, I got to tell you, Onu lo al tabia deno el achad, the only one that we really know, which we still have as part of our Mesorah, is from Asher. From Asher, it says, the Matei Asher, Sathur ben Michael. So why was he called Sathur? Shesatar ma'asav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them that I am giving you Eretz of Atchalav, Eretz Tova, and so on. And they said, no, it's actually an Eretz Ochelot Yoshveah. So it means that you're pushed, you don't mind contradicting God to his face. And why is he called Ben Michael? Sha'asa Atzmo Mach, Michael. He made God poor. We say Atzmo, that's a euphemism. So he turned HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's also Sono Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mach. You remember that Lashon from the Pticha to the Megillah that we had in Masechet Megillah. Yimach HaMikareh, in Mikareh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that means Yimach, to make them poor, is the same Lashon over here that we have with Michael. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, okay. I mean, you know, you have a Mesorah. I mean, what, you think we can't figure out anything? Afonu Nomar, I can say a pshat. I'll say a shot in another one of them. Nachbi ben Vavsi. Weird name, right? So Nachbi means Sheichbi Dvarav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What he does is he basically buried HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words. He didn't say the truth to show that what it was, that it was an Eretz of Atchalav Udvash. No, as he said a little bit, as we're going to see in a moment, that was good, but he hid most of it. Vavsi means shepisal midotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like walked all over HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promises about what it was that Eretz Yisrael would be. Vayalu v'negev vayavo at Hebron. That is very strange. First it says vayalu v'negev. Vayalu is Lashon Rabbim, which implies that all of the Meraglim were vayalu v'negev. They were all working together. But then it says vayavo at Hebron, which is only one person came to Hebron. Why doesn't it say Vayavo? If this is all part of the same story, it should say, and they came to Hebron. Omar Rava, because they didn't come to Hebron. This is Gufa, a key to understanding the mystery of the relationship that we find in Kalev, that later on he's given Hebron, Aretz Asher, Barashom, and so on. What is all of that about? Now everything adds up. If they all walked together, and then all of a sudden we find that only one went to heaven, and later on we find that Moshe Rabbeinu says this whole thing about Kalev, that he, I'm giving him that area because he was the one that went there, and this must be related. So in other words, what happened was that at that point, Kalev said, I'm going to heaven. And he left them, and because it was then that he made his commitment to be perish, miatzat ha-miraglim, and he saw the incredible pressure that he was under. And he went to pray in the Maras HaMachpelah, and Amar Lahem, and he told the Oves, Avotai, Bakshu Alai Rachamim, She'enatzel miatzat miraglim. I need help to be mitnatzel. I need to be saved. This becomes, by the way, a major, major question. Mamash halacha l'maaseh is big machlokes through all of the Peskim about what the heter is to be mishtateach al kivrei avot. Why isn't that considered to be doresh el hametim? What's the heter bichlal to be speaking to the dead? I mean, is this really mutter? Okay, so fine. There's a big maril, and that says you have to be very careful. That you shouldn't be talking to the mesim that are in a beis hakvoras. That's called dorash al mesim. The hizlosh is yivakish mehashem yizbarach yirachim alav b'schut atzadikim shochnei afar. But I mean, that's not what the Gemara seems to be saying over here. It seems pretty clear that, and this is what the shalah says, that they were actually mevakish for the nefesh of the tzaddik, that the tzaddik should be mispalo. So there's a big tshuva of Ramesha, halacha lemaisa, about this, who explains that that's gufa. There's two separate shitas that are brought in Yeridea. Gufa the Shach discusses both of them. Are you mutter to be mevakish from the nishmot hametim? So, I mean, this is the question, how to learn this. Are you actually speaking to mehtim? Are you asking that it should be b'schus? This is gufa, the part of the machlokas, is how to understand this Gemara. Okay,
The question of Tosfos seems pretty clear, though.
That's what I said. It's very difficult to read it the way that the Maril is reading it. Okay, I mean, obviously, you know, they... Lubavitcher Rebbe had a big opinion. That's a big thing about Hishtatchus of the Kvorim. He goes through five different Madrigas. Can they get five different Madrigas of the Nefesh? You know? Okay, I'm sure we can do well by speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Always safer. Fine. Yeah, of course. I mean, Lamaisa, I would suggest myself, but that there's a difference between the Avais and the Kvarim. You know, that the whole nature of the Avais is that they're, first of all, I mean, we find this by Rachel, that Rachel was Yoitza, so to speak. It was Mispalelet at the time that everybody was. So what is that? Because that seems to be part of the nature of the Avais. The Avais, because of the entire idea of the Emach, HaShecher, Gedolah, Nefelas, and the Yerush of Eretz Yisrael is the direct business of the Aveis. And in doing this, we're continuing on the Shlichus of the Aveis to be Mekayim. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech ve'amor lam shvua shenishbati lechem ki amtia. So there's a specific interrelationship of the Aveis with Yerush HaSaaretz. And because of that, it's obviously not a typical case, which I'm stop asking, you know, help me out. It's your business. And that's why those who ask, how are the Oves supposed to be Ms. Powell, or how are they supposed to hear you if it says, Hametim einam yodim davar, einam yodim uma? Okay, Lamaisa, I mean, that's strange because the word comes out, they do know, but they don't care. Anyway, but one thing you do see from here, which is... Yeah, that's what I just said. Yeah. So you know, unless you fell into a Barnea warp, I don't know, maybe the idea of the common denominator of the tourist guides are, since they're so involved in time, they fall into time warps, and maybe that's the pshat. Anyway, yeah. So
it's a good pshat because we're explaining by
Svisha. Yeah, exactly. So you have to be like Elio Hanavi in all of the places all at one time. It explains a lot.
We're in the Gan Eden perspective.
Yes, absolutely. And yes, Moshe Andel, handy hand.
I wanted to know if this has any relationship to the role that the Malachim play in Tefillah, like we learned it yesterday or the day before.
Yeah, but remember the role of Malachim is that they function automatically more. You know, especially when we find, you know, that the Malach of the Merkava is even called a telephone on that basis because he transfers that sandal phone. So that's the phone that's attached to the sandal of the Merkava, and in which it brings the... it sounds like a joke, but it isn't. Wherever there's a getter of communication. So we always spoke about the aspects of the Greek phonic, and that's always used in terms of those. So that's where we have Tzlalfonit for the mother of Shimshon, because it used to ring as a bell, and she was communicated to him, the dinim. It sounds like a joke, but it really isn't. So sandal phone is the way that Chazal understand the nature of the lower level of Vanim that are able to bring tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that it's a way of transferring the words of the phone. But I mean, over here we're talking about the actual tefillah based on someone else's consciousness, not as a transferring system or as a communication system. I wouldn't think that they're related. Anyway, so this, the one thing that we see from here that's absolutely is so amazing, that of course you've seen this before, and it's something that nobody appreciates, and that is the incredible pressure that is brought upon the most amazing people, the greatest people, and the incredible pressure that comes from groupthink, especially when that groupthink has to do with defining Lashon Hara and defining morality. I mean, it's absolutely astounding that somebody like Kalev, who is completely and totally committed to doing whatever he needs to do, and elsewhere the Gemara says that he was ready to fight all of them about the pay raise and so on. And he needed to go and to beg for Rachamim. They should be able to withstand this. There's also... everybody asks when it says that they went l'chatchila in order to bring Busha to Eretz Yisrael, but it says that they were kulam anoshim, which means that at that point they were kulam tzaddikim. So how is it possible that they went l'chatchila? And l'maisa, the only pshat that I've seen that makes sense to me, I believe it's a maral, but it could be, I'm pretty sure it was a maral, that he says that the getter is that the moment that they were mekabel the shlichas, they became shlucho shel adam kamoto. In other words, whatever was the fundamental drive in Yisrael that wanted to keep the options open about Eretz Yisrael, if they accepted that job, then there's no way that you can avoid being defined by the mess you put yourself into. This is what you're going to be working for. This is what's going to happen to you. And Kolev understood that. He understood the incredible taiva to be looked at as the bearer of information and the editor and the guy who knows everything. I mean, it's unbelievable to be able to withstand that and to not have it impact you in some way is almost impossible. It's an incredible story. And people allow themselves to be influenced by things on the internet and things that people are saying, and they think, yeah, well, I'm completely objective. It's beyond belief. You're mamish. This was like the thing that is the centerpiece of everything that happens in the Torah. Our boy Shana Bamidbar, the greatest people, but you know, you're gonna read things and it's not gonna impact you. It's amazing. So, and we put ourselves into that kind of position, reading newspapers. What, are you crazy? We're like, everything that they write is skewed to one specific idea, and you think that, yeah, but I know how to allow for it. Yeah, sure. Okay, anyway, so moving on. Now, you'll notice that this is all Kolev's problem. Yoshua, he didn't seem to need any of this. Why not? Because Kfar Bikesh Moshe Lav Rachamim, Shenemar Vayikra Moshe LaHoshea Binun Yehoshua, and Yehoshua means, may the good Lord save you. Kor Yoshiacha Miatzat Miraglim. And that's why we find this whole idea of that must have been Kalev who went to Hebron, is because that's why it says, Vavdi Kalev Ekev Haita Ruach Acheret Imo, and because, we'll talk about what that Ruach Acheret is, but it says, Havioti Velaretz Asher Bashama Vizaro Yorishena. And later on we find what is that place that they gave him Hebron. So that must be that, because Baruch Hu says that's where he was, and therefore it's given to him as Yerusha. Visham Achiman Visheshai Vitalmai. So there we're talking about, again, why are we talking about that over here? Because they want to make the impact of the frightening, you know, people that are there. And there in Hebron, there are these giants. Achiman. Even these names, Achiman means Miuman Shebechav. He was like the right-hand man, so to speak. He was the most powerful of these giants. Sheishai means Shemesimet Haaretz Kishkitot. He makes the earth into holes under his feet. Rashi says he's not quite sure, and he was never taught why Sheishai means that. How does Sheishai mean Shkitot? So he suggests that it's a lotion of Shayish. And whenever you have a marble pillar, that marble pillar makes a big impression on the earth. So these people were basically walking marble pillars. And Talmai is telling. So then when he had a little shuffle, you know, he didn't lift his feet properly. Anyway, so as he walked, he created these furrows in the ground, and that's how heavy he was. Now this next piece, Bechlal, doesn't belong here. And most, certainly the words Dover Acher doesn't belong here because it's not a Dover Acher. And most learn that this is just taken from the Sugya and Yuma, doesn't belong here at all. And it was just sort of Agav bringing the other thing that the Sofrim put it in, because this really doesn't make any sense. There it was talking about these cities of Alush and Talbush and so on. But we weren't talking about these cities. So anyway, I'll read it, but it doesn't make much sense over here. Achiman bana Anat, Sheishai bana Alush, and Talmai bana Talbush, and they're all called Yelidei HaAnak. Why? Because, why do we call them giants? The word giants come from the concept of making the sun into a necklace. Fee, fi, fo, fummy. And you put the necklace around your neck. So they appear to be so tall that, you know, they could wear the sun as a necklace. And Hebron, was Sheva Shanim Nivneta, and what exactly this means, somehow it's telling us something about the nature of the way in which the Hashivas of Hebron was, is supposed to be teaching us about the Hashivas of Eretz Yisrael also. So therefore, when we use the Lashon of Sheva Shanim Nivneta Lifnei Tsoan Mitzrayim, what does that mean? My Nivneta. What, you think that it means it was built? It couldn't mean it was built, because Efshar Adam Boneh Bayit Livno HaKatan Kodem Livno HaGadol. What was the order of the children of Ham, Uvnei Ham, Kush, Mitzrayim, Put, Uchnan? So the youngest son was Chnan. Now, you really believe that he would have built Hebron 7 years before he ever built Tsoan for Mitzrayim? Why would he give a gift to his younger son before he grew up, and before he built it for Mitzrayim? It doesn't make sense. It must mean that the Lashon of Nivneta, as Rashi points out, is like, Ulai Ibane Mimena. It's a Lashon of fertility. Al Tikre Banayich Ela Bonayich. Exactly. So Binyan and Banim and all of these things are related to fertility. So it means it was so incredibly fertile. It was 7 times more fertile than Tsoan. Now, there's no bigger trash area in Eretz Yisrael than Hebron. Ein lecha trashim b'chol Eretz Yisrael, yeter mi-Hebron. Trash doesn't mean garbage. It means rocky. So these were tremendously rocky areas. And it's because of that. I mean, see, mishum dekavri b'shichvim, and that's why they make that a place for burying, and because they can't use it for agriculture. Ve'ein lecha mu'ula b'chol ha'aretzot yeter mi-Eretz Mitzrayim. As far as the incredible richness of the earth the place that's held up as the dogma is Kegan Hashem. It's like a Gan Eden, Ke'eretz Mitzrayim. Ve'en lacha mu'ula b'chol eretz Mitzrayim yoter Mitzrayim. There was no more better land in the entire country than Tzoan, because it says, Ki hayu b'Tzoan sarav. That's where Paro was, and that's where we have the place where they would raise the royal families. Va'afilo harchi, Chevron nevuneh achad b'shiva b'Tzoan. Even though Hebron was the least part of Eretz Yisrael, it was seven times more enriched than Tzoan was. Well, how can you say that Hebron is trash? Vokti vayimi ketzar ba'im shana vayomer avshalom el ha-melech el chana. What? He says to him, I want to go because I made a neder. Vashalem et nidari asher nadarti b'Hebron. The Hebron. I mean, there certainly was no Mizbeach in Hebron. So what was he going to Hebron for? The Omer of Avia, it means that he went to get the best quality tzon, Allah lavikva simi Hebron. And it's a braita. The braita says that the korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, the Elim were brought from Moab, but the kvasim were brought from Hebron. So how do you explain that this was, Hebron was a trash area if it had the best pasture land? Well, that's the whole point, says the Gemara. Mina. It's because of that. Don't you understand? I did a cliche ara of the raya. Because you've got ground that is very thin topsoil, it's right away, it's stony underneath the ground. So nobody's going to plant there. You can't really plow. So what grows there? Delicious grass. Perfect for the sheep. And that's exactly why of the raya makes wonderful pasture land. The Shamen Kinyona, and those sheep grow good and fat. Vayashuvu Mitur Haaretz, so they went Mitur Haaretz, and it was at the end, Miketz Arbaim Yom, Vayalchu Vayavohu. Wait a minute, what's Vayalchu Vayavohu? I thought it says Vayashuvu. First it says they came back, and then what? And then they went again? What's Vayalchu Vayavohu? So vayechu v'yavoh is a horrible thing. Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It doesn't mean that they went and came. It means that their going and their coming was exactly the same. They went initially to bring back exactly what it is that they did. Maki shalicha leviyah. Mabiyah beitzah ra'ah. It's clearly we see that they came back in order to say the things that they said. Af halicha. That's what we said before. That originally they went out lachpor et haaretz. It was understanding that that was the goal in the first place. Unbelievable. So ma biya beitzara'a falicha beitzara'a. Vayisapru lo vayomru. So they come and they tell Moshe, banu el haaretz. And sure enough, it's an eretz zavat chalav udvash. Veze piryo. But there's a little bit of a problem. Efeski azam. So why did they say it that way? Says Rabbi Yochanan, because that's the point. Anybody who's trying to get people to believe the lies that he says always says something undeniably true at the beginning, which makes him sound like an objective reporter. And yes, you can treat that, you trust this guy 100%. Oh, for sure. You were expecting that, of course. If Hashem said it's avat chalav, it is avat chalav udvash. But, so as the Ramban says, that was the only thing they said wrong, was that one word, but. It's not just but, it's ephes. Like, there's no chance. Okay, so we'll continue. We have a few minutes. It's the middle of a beautiful story. I don't want to go too much into that stuff. So then it says, Vayahas Kalev et ha'am Moshe. So Kalev shut everybody up when facing Moshe, meaning, meaning that he brought them in, that they should shut up, by making it clear that this was a problem. So what happened was, he saw Patach Yoshua, the Kamishtai. He sees Yoshua as trying to argue, right? Yoshua is trying to give the other way of looking at it. So people started making fun of Yoshua. What, this idiot over here, Dein Reish K'tiyah Yamalel? This guy is a head without a body. That's because he actually, he didn't have Ben. So he said, Yehoshua, because of that, what does he have to say? He doesn't have any future there. So Kalev says, Oy vavoy, if I'm going to start up directly the way Yehoshua did, imishtayina, they'll find something to shut me up to. Amri be milta v'chasmin le. Well, you think they can't figure out something to say about everybody? I don't know what it is, but they'll for sure, they'll say something. So Amar lahem. So he figured the thing to do is to get them to think he's on their side. So he says, v'chizu bilvada salonu ben Amram, this ben Amram character, you think this is the only thing he did to us? Yeah. So tell us, what else did he do? Well, Hotzianu mimitzrayim, kara lanu et hayam, hechi lanu et haman, and if he says we should be able to say sulamot and climb up to the sky if you have to, lo nishmalo, alo nale, we can climb up to the sky, v'yarashnu ota. That's the point of Kolev Ekev Aysa, the Alev that was an Eitz HaCheres. He said differently than he really felt inside. They thought that he was on their side, which is a brilliant tactic, because all you need is a little bit of 1 second of attention to be able to at least cast doubt on people. Okay, everyone, may we learn some lessons at least from this story of the Meraglim to be able to be zeicha to a new Yerushas Haaretz. Hoshiyas Hamecha, Uvarech Esnachal Asecha, Or Eim V'Naseim Ad Olam.